Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Joining us now is a very familiar voice to anybody who's followed the NBA for years on the sidelines for NBA on TNT. He's worked for the Washington Post, the Philadelphia Inquirer, now runs the D.C. Bureau of the Athletic, and a proud graduate of the American University. He is David Aldridge. How you doing, D.A.?
Stoney, I'm good, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, especially when we beat Georgetown for the second time in my lifetime, and since I was a student in 1976. 82 and then 40 years later. It's pretty good.
There you go. I mean, I certainly didn't think I'd see it. So that was a great win for them. Good for them, man.
Absolutely. And they beat Ewing as a player and then beat him as a coach. All right. The Pistons, I know you don't get to watch them too closely. They're obviously struggling, you know, with the second worst record in the league at 6-19. People are getting a little restless with KC, but I look at it, David, that, you know, they're a real young team, and you look at Orlando and Houston, they're almost in the same, they're all in the same boat. They don't play defense, and they've got a lot of good young players that just aren't winning games. Is that accurate?
Well, you don't win with young in this league. I mean, I guess maybe fans don't understand that. But you just do not win in the NBA with a bunch of young guys on your roster. They just, you know, they aren't fully formed as people, as players. You know, they don't get calls. They don't play defense. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. So even somebody who's as accomplished as a defensive coach as Case is, it's just you're talking to deaf ears, you know, like it is not centered in their mindset as young players. Young guys are all about the second contract. Well, how you get the second contract? You score, score a lot of points and you get the second contract. You don't get a second contract by playing really good defense and being conscientious about second effort plays and things like that. So just, I mean, I know it's hard, you know, because everybody wants to win. But just look at their roster, man. I mean, how many guys do they have under 25? Like 10?
Pretty much.
You just can't. You can't win. You're not going to win unless you have a transformative player, and the guy that they are hoping will be their transformative player, and Cade is hurt, you know. So, you know, it's just, look, I just put it this way. If you're going to be bad, this is a great year to be bad.
Victor!
There's no doubt about it. I don't know if you saw what he did over the weekend, but, I mean, he was still producing at, like, an unbelievable rate. But when you talk about the young guys, do you think they have the right guys to become those vets that could lead this team?
I mean, again, I think a lot depends on how Cade develops. Mm-hmm. You saw last year, you know, he came on it as the season went on and played better, right? And so I think it's still there. You know, obviously, Ivy just got there. I can't make a judgment on Jaden. You know, he just got there.
Right.
You know, like, and he's 20 years old. So we will have to see. I mean, I certainly think he has, you know, the things coming out of college that pro teams want, he can do, right, at that spot. So you have to see if he can be more consistent on the three and things like that. But you know, I think he's got talent, you know. We'll see how it plays out. But again, when there's nobody in the locker room with some gray in their beard, it's just really hard, man. It's just really hard to win.
Final thing on the Pistons, as we get to the deadline and, you know, in a couple of months, will there be an interest maybe from a few teams for guys like Burks and even Bogdanovich, who's actually been the Pistons' best player, and, you know, they extended his contract. I don't know if it's to trade him or not, but, you know, players like that will be able to get some value for.
I'm guessing, Stoney, that the extension was to trade him because the team's not going to want him if they don't know he's under contract for next season, right?
For
the following season. So that makes sense. I mean, look, Bogey's a vet. He knows what he's doing out there. I can't imagine that he is, you know, comfortable just kind of playing out his career on a team that's learning how to win. So I'm guessing that he gets flipped at the deadline for more assets, right? Which is what they should be doing. Don't get me wrong. This is exactly what they should be doing. This is what Troy Weaver should be doing, is getting as many cracks at the draft as you can get, you know, to get a potential superstar. And again, if they finish first with the ping pong balls this year, nobody is going to give a damn about this season. Okay. So mission accomplished. So that's, you know, and even if it's two, you get Scoot Henderson, or you get to trade the rights to Scoot Henderson because you already have the point guard, your point guard of the future, for something really good. So I mean, I know it's hard day in and day out to watch a team, I think, what are they, 29th in defensive rating, 24th in offensive rating. It's hard, man. It's hard to watch that. I get it. But means to an end, fellas, means to an end.
What do you hear about Cade Cunningham across the league? Do you hear superstar attached with his name, or potential of superstar attached to his name, when you just talk about people that aren't here in Detroit that see and want that to happen?
I mean, I think you hear what you heard coming out of the draft, which is, you know, he's incredibly gifted as a passer and has a chance to be a really, really good, if not great, NBA level point guard. Sees the floor really well, so none of that has changed. He has a chance, but you have to do it. And again, he started to do it last year, but you look at that field goal percentage. He shot 41 last year from the floor. He's shooting 41 from the field this year from the floor. You know what I mean? Like, that has to get better. That has to improve for him to have a chance. Now, that will improve as the talent around him improves, but it has to improve.
Let's talk about the league. It looks like the league's in pretty good stead. You got a lot of really good young players, but unfortunately, everybody is always focused still on the Lakers and Brooklyn. I mean, Anthony Davis at 55 the other night. Here's a team that all of a sudden, you know, they're only like a game or two out of that play-in thing, and who knows what kind of acquisitions. They're not dead in the water yet, are they?
Oh, no. The Lakers are starting to play good, man. Yeah. I mean, they've won like 6 or 7 or something like that. I mean, they're starting to play good. So, no, they're it looks like, you know, they are starting to figure it out defensively, especially. You know, they're getting much more kind of cohesive at that end of the floor. Now, it's not pristine or anything like that, but it's getting better, you know. And as you mentioned, AD is really starting to play it at that superstar level that he should be playing at. Maybe he's healthy now, I don't know. But the last 5 or 6 games, he's really turned it on offensively. They seem to be finding a role for Westbrook that he seems to be accepting, right?
Yeah.
We'll see. But right now, it's starting to come together a little bit for them. And they're getting just enough from the other guys to kind of make them competitive, you know? So you look at them, and they're 10th in defensive rating now. Like, that's big for them. That's big time improvement. And what you would expect from a Darvin Ham coach team, right? I mean, they're playing a lot of drop coverage. You know, they're doing the things that the Bucks did defensively to get better. So it's starting to take some shape. I still don't think they have enough shooting, but when you guard people every night, and that's, I don't know for the life of me why more teams don't understand this. If you guard people every night, you have a chance to win every game, whether you score a lot of points or not.
Now,
yeah, I don't know why that's such a tough concept for people to understand.
Well, like you said, you don't get a big contract with defense.
Well, that's true. Right.
When you look around the Western Conference, Stoney and I have talked about this, and I stare at the Dallas Mavericks in awe of one player, and that's Luka Doncic. And he's, what, 23 years old. Where the hell is that guy ceiling at? Because you would look at a lot of players right now, and you would be like, that guy's at the peak of his career, but he's 23. And where do you think he could get to?
Well, I mean, he's a foundational, you know, superstar all-time type of player, potentially, right? The problem is it's hard to play with Luka because he handles the ball so much. You know, it's just hard. It's hard to find people that can get comfortable. I think it's part of the struggles the Mavericks have is that it's just difficult to find guys that can be productive even when they don't touch the ball for multiple possessions, you know. And it's the dilemma of Luka. He's so good with the ball. He's so creative with the ball. He's such a good scorer and he's such a great passer that you kind of have to run the offense through him. But the problem is he handles the ball all the time and nobody else touches it. And it's tough. It's just tough to play with him. And as Jason Kidd said a couple weeks ago, like, he's going to run out of gas at this usage rate that he's been on. I mean, it's just he's on the floor so much and has the ball so often and hits the floor so often, right, going to the basket, that takes its toll. And so the problem is just it's a fine line, and it's the same whether you're playing with James Harden or Trae Young and all of the kind of great scorers over the last few years that have the ball in their hands all the time. It's just difficult to get into a rhythm when one guy touches the ball all the time.
Well, what
a dilemma.
What team out there that's not a marquee team that you look at right now saying, my God, I'm impressed with them. They're fun. They're a team to look forward to in the future and maybe make a surprise run.
Well, look, I think the Pelicans look really, really good right now. And they haven't even really had their whole team healthy all season. But Zion looks good. You know, he looks like he's coming back into form. And they were already, you know, going in the right direction last year after they got McCollum. So they're in good shape. They look really formidable. They really play great defense. Again, I keep coming back to that because there's no mystery to this. It's just so crazy to me. They're third in the league in defensive rating. You know, like there's a reason why they're 15-8.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, people say they want to win and then they don't do the thing that leads to winning and always leads to winning in the NBA. Like, it just boggles my mind. But yeah, they're, you know, Willie Green's done an excellent job down there.
University of Detroit, baby.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, again, the guy that learned how to play defense, you know, was on team. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
So that's what they have been able to do, you know. And Herb Jones is a fantastic on-ball defender, and just, you know, and then offensively they're just really hard to guard. You know, between Zion and CJ and Ingram, they're just really hard to guard. You know, because you can't really throw your defense at any one player because the other two will kill you, you know, on a given night. So, they're a good team.
Final thing, my hometown team, the process, the Sixers, can they do anything? I mean, yeah, Harden's hurt and all that. It just seems that, like, it's time for Doc Rivers to go. They're like, even Embiid, when he plays great. Then he has games where he looks like he's soft and doesn't want to be there.
Well, I would say, look, they are really beat up right now with the injuries. I mean, they've been really banged up
for
a while.
Maxie too,
right. I mean, you can't just lose Harden and Maxie and just say, hey, everything's the same. It's not the same. Like, you don't win without your stars in this league. So, it's not – I think the injuries really kind of kept them from really kind of getting themselves going this year. And they're kind of treading water right now while they wait for everybody to come back. But I don't know. I mean, I think you can't, you know, look, obviously, if they don't have a breakthrough, the Doc won't be there next year.
Right.
And I think everybody understands that. So they've got to win at least one and maybe two rounds in the playoffs for Doc to keep his job. But I do give them credit. They've won some games here that I really, you know, they beat Brooklyn with half a team basically. And I didn't think they had any chance of doing that. So, you know, they're finding the wins where they can get them, but you just can't win in this league when you lose, you know, 50 points out of your lineup.
I know.
It's hard to replace that.
Yep. Dave, thanks a lot. Appreciate it as always. Stay well. And we'll talk to you down the road.